He, God, has made everything, Solomon wrote, beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in the hearts of men. God himself has placed in the soul of man a hunger, the sense that something is missing that ought to be there, a longing for the eternal God.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message called The Value of a Soul. This is the first chapter of the exciting four-part series entitled Soul Survival. Now, to introduce today's message, here's Pastor Jeff.
We hear a lot about the word soul in our culture, and I don't mean soul music. I mean that inner part of us that, according to Jesus, is eternal. Most people would have at least a vague idea of what you mean should you talk about a soul, but at best, we have only a partial understanding of the soul and of how God created us as people. In this series, we're going to look at the major importance of our soul. In fact, Jesus said that your soul is the most valuable thing in all the earth, more valuable than all the riches of the world combined. He also taught that our souls can be lost forever, and that he came into the world to literally rescue and save our soul. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part two of the message, The Value of a Soul, from our series, Soul Survival.
He has made you alive. Everybody say alive. Together with him. He has made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So notice how it happens. When you get forgiven, he makes you alive. We've had people saved in every service today. In the first service, these folks came down to get saved. One man was so touched by God. He was sobbing so hard. He could hardly tell me his name. And he was giving his heart to Jesus. And I watched the transformation happen right in front of my eyes. His eyes came alive. Joy was coming into his heart. He who was lost was now found. Listen, born once, you're dead. Born twice, you're alive. Born once, you're lost. Born twice, you're found. I want you to get this now. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. It's not an option. It's not something you go pray about or think about. You must be born again. If you want to see the kingdom of God, your spirit man must be made alive, because a dead spirit can't fellowship with a living God. You see, it's the spirit that is instantly transformed when we're saved, instantly. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, all has become new. That's talking about the spirit man being born again. Our souls, that I'm going to talk about in a moment, must undergo lifelong renewal by the renewing of our minds. But our spirits are instantly transformed and made alive at the moment of salvation. And 10 years from now, your spirit's not going to be more alive than it is today, because when God made it alive, he made it fully alive. It is the spirit man inside of you that responds to the things that come from the Spirit of God. I want you to listen to this. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. When we get saved, his spirit comes into our spirit, makes our spirit alive, and our spirits are joined with the Lord's spirit. And watch this, it is with our spirits that we fellowship with God. It is your spirit that comes to know him. It is your spirit that fellowships with him. It is your spirit that responds to the moving of his spirit. See, most of us in here today are here to worship God and walk with him and enjoy the word of God and enjoy his presence. And you know what that is? It is your spirit rising up and joining in with what his spirit is doing, because with our spirits, we fellowship with God. I know Jesus in my spirit. Paul said, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Isn't it good to know we can fellowship with the Holy Spirit? That means we can walk with Him and talk with Him and listen to Him and fellowship with Him and enjoy Him in our spirit man. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I fellowship with the Holy Spirit every day. That's not me bragging. That's me giving you a fact, a reality about the Christian life. I listen to Him. I fellowship with Him. I enjoy His presence. I enjoy walking in the Spirit. I enjoy the love He pours out into my heart by the Holy Ghost given unto me. He said to Timothy, the Lord be with your spirit. Isn't it interesting? He didn't say your soul or your body. He said, the Lord be with your spirit. Because it's with the Spirit we fellowship with God. See, when you read the Bible, when you read your Bible, I hope you do it every day, two things happen. Every time you read the Bible, these two things happen. My mind, which is part of my soul that I'll talk about in a moment, is renewed. And my spirit is edified. When I get into that word every morning, my spirit rises up when I'm done and says, T-bone. That was T-bone steak. Thank you. And my spirit rises up and my spirit is edified and at peace and strengthened because with my spirit, I fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God, and the things that come to me from God, I receive in my spirit man. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship in, that means within, from within their spirit man. So when we sing to the Lord, and I hope you understand this, when you sing a worship song or a hymn about the Lord, we're not just supposed to sing about Him, we're supposed to be singing to Him, right up to Him. Where we look up and with our spirits, we fellowship with the Lord and we worship the Lord. They that worship Him must worship in their spirits, with their spirit and in truth. So everybody say, I have a spirit. Just like the apple core, you have a core and it's your spirit. Now, then there's our body. We have a body like that apple, the skin. We have a body. And our bodies are obviously what we live in while we're here on earth. And Peter called it your earthly tent. He said, I'm about to put off my earthly tent. That's his way of saying my body is about to die. And we know that he was about to be martyred. But Peter said, I'm about to put off my earthly tent. Now, that's a great illustration of what your body is, because you know what a tent is. You put a tent up and then you pull the pegs up and you take a tent down. A tent is temporary. And your body is temporary. Your body is temporary. But I want you to know that God has an incredible plan for your body. When Jesus comes again, every born-again child of God is going to be given a brand new resurrected body. I want you to say with me, He's got a plan for my body. And His plan beats anything a fitness instructor can do with your body. Jesus is going to give you a glorified body. What was His glorified body like? He walked through closed doors without having to open them. And then when He got into the room that He walked through the door to get to, He ate fish. He was able to walk through and defy natural law, but also eat and retain meat. He was able to lift His hands and float up into heaven, defying gravity. We're going to get a glorified body. This is the promise of Christianity. Listen to what Paul said. If this doesn't stir you, you're not saved. Are you ready? He said, I'm telling you this strange and wonderful secret. We shall not all die, but we shall all be given new bodies. It will all happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. That word moment is from a Greek word, atomos. We get atom from that word. What he's telling us is, when that trumpet is blown and Jesus comes back and we get a new body, it's not going to be some gradual transformation and we're going to kind of float up into the air, taking in the scenery as we go. No, it's going to be in a flash, faster than a blink, faster than a camera flash, in a moment, in an atom of time. You're going to be walking around, if you're still here, well, let me just keep on reading. I'm getting ahead of myself. Listen to this. He said, for there will be, everybody say will be. Not maybe, not might, not hope so, there will be a trumpet blast from the sky, and all the Christians who have died will suddenly become alive. Can I read that again? All the Christians who have died will suddenly become alive. Now you say, Jeff, do you really believe that? Why would I not believe that? Well, because that's pretty incredible that bodies that have been in the grave for hundreds of years are going to come alive. Why is it so incredible? We believe in a God who brought something out of nothing. He spoke and there was something out of nothing. If he can speak something out of nothing, he can speak to a pile of ashes and bring them together into a viable, glorified body anytime he wants. Those who have died will suddenly become alive with new bodies that will never, never die. And then we who are still alive shall suddenly have new bodies too. For our earthly bodies, the ones that we have now that can die, must be transformed into heavenly bodies that cannot perish but will live forever. So if you're walking around on the earth when the trumpet is blown, you are instantly, suddenly, in an atom of time, going to be staring in the face of the one that died for you. And that's what we call the blessed hope. That's the blessed hope. That is at the crux and the core of Christianity. The crux and the core of Christianity is Jesus rose from the dead, and so will you. We are going to have a resurrection of the body. Paul was persecuted to the ends of the earth for preaching that we were going to have a resurrected body. He preached the resurrection from the dead. So everybody say, he's got a plan for my body. And he has made my spirit alive. Now let's talk about the soul. Our soul is the breath of life described in Genesis. The breath of life. It says in Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. When God decided to make man, he took the dust of the earth and he formed the body of Adam. But when he first formed the body of Adam, his body was inanimate. It was not alive. It was like a statue or some figurine that was there on the ground that he had formed from the dust. But then the Bible says he breathed into his nostrils. And when he did, the man became a living what, everyone? Soul. So our soul is the breath of life. The Greek word for soul is psuche. And from that word, we get psychology, psychological, psycho, psuche. But when we talk about psychology, we're just talking about the mind. But the soul, the psuche that the Bible talks about is much deeper than that. The soul is more complex. I'm going to explain it in a moment. But let me tell you what the Bible says about your soul. Your soul can be lost or found. As a matter of fact, today your soul is either lost or it's found. It will one day go to either heaven and hell. Absolutely. There is no in-between place, no stopping place, no fence. You either go, your soul, to heaven or hell, and it will go there forever. It's either alive by salvation or dead in sins. It can be cast down by discouragement or encouraged by God. David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me, O my soul?" The soul can be wounded like a body. We can cut our body. We can bruise our body. You can do that to your soul. Something happens to you. Somebody betrays you. You get a heartbreak. Or you go into some kind of sin. The Bible says that sin always brings damage. And when we do that, we wound our soul. Some of you have come in here today with wounded souls. You want the joy of the Lord. You want to feel better, but you don't because your soul is wounded. It's either bruised or it's bleeding. And you need a soul healing. But I've got good news for you. David said, he, God, restores my soul. He restores my soul. Another psalm says, the word of God, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The soul is that part of us that longs and thirsts for God. Our soul can be comforted or it can be vexed. David said, my soul is sore vexed. The soul can be hungry or satisfied, strong or faint, troubled or at peace. Some of you here today have a troubled soul. Money troubles, relational troubles, sin troubles, something has troubled your soul. But some of you have peace. God gives peace to the troubled soul. And you know that our souls can curse God or they can bless his name. Over and over, we find David saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. With our souls, we bless the Lord. Now, the soul is primarily just like you. You're made up of body, soul, and spirit. The soul is made up of primarily three things: your mind, your will, and your emotions. Those three things comprise your soul. First, we have a mind to think with, to consider things. David wrote this question in Psalms 13. He said, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? Now catch that. His soul, the mind part of his soul, was counseling him. He was thinking, considering, pondering. When we think through something, when we consider something, when we go throughout the day thinking, that's a function of your soul. Your soul has a mind. And our soul also includes emotions. You read in the Bible about the troubled soul, the grieved soul, a rejoicing soul. Because the soul, part of the soul, is your emotional makeup. When David had killed Goliath, and King Saul called him over and said, man, I want to meet you. Tell me your name and tell me how you did this. And David was talking to King Saul. It says, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan, Saul's son, was knitted to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Do you notice that being able to love somebody, loving somebody is a function of the soul. When you love somebody, it's a function of your soul. As I get to know you, I get to know your soul. Your soul is your character. It's your makeup. It's your personality. You get to know somebody's soul. That's why I tell you, if you're dating, you don't get to know somebody's body first. You get to know their soul. That's free. And so our soul has a mind, it has emotions, and it has a will. David told his son Solomon, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. He says, Solomon, set your soul. Choose with your soul to seek God. Two kinds of people are in here today. Those that are really seeking God and those who for whatever reason aren't. But both of those are the result of a decision made by your soul. So the soul has a mind to think, emotions to feel, and a will to choose. These are functions of the soul. So you live in a body, but your body is not you. Your soul is you. You don't have a soul, you are a soul. Remember that old song, I'm a soul man? Let me tell you how that ought to say. I'm a soul man. It's funny where I go to make a point, isn't it? But I am a soul man. You are a soul. Your soul is the essence of who you are. Now, the Bible says about the soul, nothing is more valuable than your soul. Listen to me, friend, nothing. Jesus said, what good will it be for somebody if they gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? You know what that's telling me? Jesus is literally letting us know we can forfeit or trade off or exchange our soul for something else. We can trade it away. His word suggests that we can squander away our soul. We can neglect it. And I'm going to tell you, we can lose it. You can lose your soul. Today, your soul is either lost or it's found. Right now, this moment, your soul is either lost or it's found. We can even sell our souls for something else. We can trade it away. We can say, you know what? I'm going to sell my soul. I'm going to give my soul away to achieve that or to get that or obtain that. I'm going to sell my soul off. I'm going to trade it away. The concept of selling your soul is all over music lyrics, books, operas. There's that well-known story of Faust. I don't know if you've ever read it or not, but it's about a man who sells his soul to the devil for worldly pleasures. He says, I'm going to sell my soul. And he makes what we call a Faustian bargain. A Faustian bargain is when you say, all right, I want that over there, but if I'm going to get that over there, I'm going to have to give up on my soul. I'm going to have to trade my soul away. So a Faustian bargain is when you say, that is worth to me more than my soul, and you chase after something else instead of taking care of your soul or making sure your soul is saved. And many people make Faustian bargains just like that. They sell their soul away. And Jesus said any trade-off for the soul is a bad trade because whatever you trade for is temporary. I don't care what it is. It's temporary, but your soul is eternal. So when you trade off your soul for something in this world, it's a bad trade. Have you sold your soul? I know most of you in here are saved, but have you sold your soul? And even saved people can get sidetracked, detoured, lured away to give up on their soul to get something else. How many times have we seen somebody sell their soul for a drug habit or alcohol or some ill-advised, ungodly relationship? And we say, you know what? This over here is worth more to me than my soul. And we sell out. We sell our soul to get something else. And I guarantee you can do it. Jesus talked about a rich man who lived for his money. But one day, when that rich man was entering into retirement, the day he retired, God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And who will get what you set aside for yourself? Jesus is saying, you're a fool if you traded your soul away for anything on this earth. He called him a fool. And he said, guess what, fool? Everything that you worked for and all that you have saved that you thought you were going to retire on, you're about to lose it all because you're being called into eternity. Now, people that didn't even work for what you had are going to get what you worked for. If you sold your soul, the good news is you can get it back through Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Now, one last thing quickly. The soul was designed with a purpose, and the purpose is to fellowship with God. David talked about soul hunger. He longed for God. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He said, you, God, are my God. Earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I believe our souls are desperate for God from the day we're born to the day we die. I have always believed that when somebody turns to a drug or to alcohol or to the occult looking for a spiritual experience, they're really looking for God. They just don't know it. He, God, has made everything, Solomon wrote, beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in the hearts of men. God himself has placed in the soul of man a hunger, the sense that something is missing that ought to be there, a longing for the eternal God. And our souls never rest until they rest in him. Can we stand together?
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, Give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message called The Renewed Soul in this sermon series entitled Soul Survival. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.